Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Thank you very much indeed for that. Now, as you heard in the headlines, Minister for Integration Roderick O'Gorman has rejected suggestions that there was limited engagement with the local community in Coolock in Dublin on a proposed new accommodation centre. Earlier, Taoiseach Simon Harris has said no amount of community engagement could have prevented the public order incident that unfolded in Coolock yesterday. Violent disturbances broke out at the site of a proposed development for international protection applicants after trucks and construction equipment were brought on site. A dispute has now emerged between rank and file Gardaí and Minister for Justice Helen McEntee over the handling of the violence yesterday. Well, for more on this, I'm joined in studio by Youth Justice Project Leader with KEEP Project, Keith O'Driscoll, and from our Edictus Studio, Fianna Fáil TD, Jim O'Callaghan. You're both very welcome indeed to the programme. Keith O'Driscoll, I might turn to you first of all, and you're very welcome. You work in the area of youth justice with the KEEP Project. Can I ask you about when you heard about what was unfolding in Coolock yesterday at the protest and the violent disturbances and so on? What was your initial reaction?
I suppose my initial reaction was this kind of obviously shock. You're around the area and you knew there was something that was going on because there was a lot of smoke up in the area. Initially, I heard it was something at Woody's. And then I suppose after getting to speak to people from around the area, they told me about the disturbances. Kind of very shocked. Initially, I suppose I was shocked to the level and to the gravity that it really progressed to. I suppose that's what really shocked me. I did expect it to flare up at some point, just nowhere near the gravity of what it did, and to have 200 members of Garda Síochána brought in to kind of police it and to bring law and order to it.
And you spotted some people, some young people that you work with actually in your project, in video shared online, isn't that right? What did you do? How did you respond to that?
Yeah, like in particular, like obviously as things really started to unfold, the social media started, video started to upload really quickly on social media, and I suppose I did see the videos and scrolling through it just to look at the developments, and I did spot a young person, so immediately I did ring them up and I did ask them, so like, where are you, what are you doing? And they initially tried to pull the wool off my eyes, and I just kind of, I said, look, I know where you are, you need to leave there ASAP, you need to get out, you need to protect yourself, it's not good for you to be down there. So it was initial, a very, very quick response. And that young person now has been brought in, like, into the project just to have an informal conversation.
And they weren't involved in any disturbance, really. So they basically, a lot of people you were saying go down to have a look, is that it?
Yeah, a lot of young people, when they hear stuff and they see on social media that there's obviously a lot of trouble in the area, curiosity naturally kicks in, and human nature. So a lot of young people obviously go down to the scenes, they're going kind of gone down just to see what's going on, and eventually they can kind of get caught up in it and embroiled in it. And that's what you're seeing, an awful lot of young people down at the disturbances. And it was really disturbing for me to even see that. But it was just, it wasn't a nice or pleasant sight, you know.
And what will you say to the people at your project about what happened? I'm sure they'll be curious, as you say, and have questions.
Yeah, like, so I suppose what we will do is, like, we came in this morning and we had a meeting on site and in Balmain, and we just said, look, everybody touch base with all your young people this morning, see how they are, how they're feeling, where they at it, where they not. And I just touched base with some of my young people, and thankfully there wasn't no one at a bar that them young people are saying on social media last night, but no one else attended.
And you advised them to get out of the way. Can I ask you about what Minister for Integration Roderick O'Gorman has said? He's rejected suggestions that there was little engagement with the local community in Coolock about what was happening in the proposed site for accommodation and so on. I believe you attended a meeting earlier this year with local councillors and politicians about accommodations with officials from his department, is that right?
Yeah, to say that there wasn't much engagement, and that is true.
You're saying there was not engagement?
There was a very, very little engagement. I was at a meeting. I was actually very taken back. Like, I think the public reps, so those, the councillors and the TDs, they were, I was actually surprised, they actually did, a lot of them raised concerns around what was happening, and the department did say, look, we are reacting to as well as the situation, and we have under international law, we do have an obligation to house people, and they did say at the time that we will not We won't be organising meetings, but we will attend if there are organised meetings. But they did say they won't be attending.
Okay. But that was engagement, isn't that right?
Well, that was engagement with public reps and community leaders. But it wasn't, I suppose, engagement maybe with the broader community who did have the concerns.
What concerns do they have in the community?
I suppose Coolock is a very settled community. There's a lot of people there living a long, long time. And I suppose people have spoken to me that they, I suppose, the unknown. People coming in, different cultures, different way of life. Do they, I suppose, integration within the community? People are fearful of that. And I do think a lot of it, from what I do speak to people about, there is concerns around housing. Mm-hmm. And maybe they feel that, like, from my personal perspective, I would be like, these people are coming from very difficult situations that any of us can't ever fathom. But the public are kind of really annoyed over the housing situation, and then they view that maybe people on international protection are getting housed before them and they're getting supports before them.
Okay.
So I think that's one of the issues as well.
Stay with me, Keith O'Driscoll, in for a moment. Jim O'Callaghan of Fianna Fáil is with me as well. Jim, you're very welcome to the programme. Can I get you to respond to what Keith is saying there? It kind of echoes in one way what your colleague in Fianna Fáil, the local councillor, said on this station earlier on. There wasn't enough engagement with the community.
Yeah, well, I listened very carefully to Keith Dare Cormack, and like him, I found the scenes in Coolock yesterday shocking. Obviously, people are entitled to protest, you're entitled to assemble, but you have to do that peacefully. And unfortunately, what we saw yesterday was people engaging in violence and criminal acts against An Garda Síochána, and like many have been arrested and they'll face the consequences before the court. So irrespective of whether there was engagement, Cormack, or there wasn't, you can't allow people to engage in criminal violent
That's
activity.
Without question. That's a separate question which we'll come to in a second. But on the lack of engagement.
Yeah, I've listened to what Keith has said and Daryl Barron has said. Part of the problem when it comes to engagement for international protection accommodation centres is that because they're exempted developments, we don't have the usual process of, say, if there was a hotel to be built in the Crown Paint site, there would have been a planning application gone up, people would have been able to put in their submissions or objections, there'd be a decision by the City Council, and then you could make an appeal to an board plan. Obviously, because of the pressures that the country is under in terms of international protection, we don't have that because they're exempted development. And I think because of that procedure, there is a greater emphasis on the department to ensure greater engagement, greater communication. But you're always going to get to a stage, Cormac, after engagement and communication, mm-hmm. that there will be a group of people who will say, no, we don't want that coming into the community.
That's without question. But are you saying there was adequate engagement, notwithstanding the exemption?
I'm not saying that. I'm listening to Keith, I'm listening to Daryl Barron, I'm listening to Tom Brabazon, and I think probably there should have been more engagement.
The minister has rejected that there was a lack of engagement.
I know.
So where do we go from there?
Yeah, listen, we're entitled to have different opinions.
No, I understand that, but what would you say to the minister then in that regard?
Well, I'm looking at what was the engagement. My understanding of what the minister said was that in late March, the department notified TDs and councillors that an offer had come in for the Crown Paint site, and that in April, there was a meeting with TDs, councillors, and some engagement with community reps, and I think that's echoed by Keith, but that seems to have been it. And I think there needs to be more community engagement, even if you're always going to have at the end of the process a group of people who are going to say no. I do think because it's exempted development, because the ordinary planning processes aren't available, that there's a greater obligation on the department to provide greater engagement.
But this isn't the first time that we've had accusations or allegations of a lack of engagement with the community. It's happened very, very regularly when these migrant accommodation centres have opened. A lack of engagement from with the community and a fear of unknown and protest and people trying to dissuade the government from placing migrants in their community. It seems that the government isn't learning their lesson.
Well, I think the government is dealing with a very difficult situation, Cormac. Like, we can't dissociate this or segregate it from the numbers that are coming in seeking international protection. At present, the state is providing international protection applications with accommodation to 31,400 applicants. If you look back in 2019, we were only providing accommodation to 7,600. If you look at the numbers that are coming in seeking international protection, by the end of June this year, 10,600 had applied, which is a 94% increase. So obviously there's an obligation on the state, I fully accept this, and the government, to try to get alternative accommodation sites.
And we've heard that context before.
I know, but also, can I get to the important point?
Yeah.
Also, we have to see if we can introduce measures that will reduce the numbers of people coming to Ireland seeking international protection.
And which we discussed in this programme
and
before.
And if we don't, what's going to happen is that the numbers are going to consistently increase, and we're going to be frantically looking for accommodation centres all the time.
Was it policed properly?
I think the Gardaí did an excellent job. Yes, it was an extremely difficult situation for the Gardaí. I know there were some complaints from the GRA about the late arrival of the public order unit.
You don't agree with them?
I don't know. I wasn't there. I presume there'll be an operational review as to what happened there. If there was a delay, that needs to be responded to, because what you can't allow to happen is if there is a violent crowd attacking members of An Garda Síochána, like, the only way that can be responded to is for the public order unit to get there.
But the Justice Minister and the Taoiseach were quick out of the traps to say that they supported the policing response.
I support the policing response as well. I think the Gardaí did an excellent job. I commend them for it. But if it is the case, and the GRA are a well-informed association, if it was the case that there was a delay in calling in the public order unit, well, certainly that's something that needs to be reviewed.
You're leaving that as an open question then, in pending a review.
I don't know. I don't know what happened. Yeah. I don't know whether there was a delay or not. Yeah. That's something that needs to be established.
Can I go back to Keith O'Driscoll for a second? And the type of work you do, Keith, you're the Youth Justice Project Leader with the KEEP project in Coolock, in case people are just tuning in.
Yeah.
What about supports, adequate supports and resources and financing for the type of work that you do?
Yeah, so in terms of youth justice work, we obviously work with a cohort of young people. I suppose across the project, we work with early intervention, which is 8 to 11. So, and then we work with young people then who are maybe 12 to 17. So the criminal age of responsibility is 12 to 17. 18, you're an adult. And 11 and 8 to 11, you can't be really dealt with by the criminal justice system. So I suppose the Department of Justice, and I'm not trying to promote them or try to pay lip service to them, they have always been fantastic progressively over the last 6 or 7 years, year on year, year in, year out. There's always been supports there, and there's always been an increase in budget year in, year out. They've been fantastic. I'm sure there are other community support groups that probably could do with a little bit more funding. Coolock, in as an area, there's going to be, it's going to grow massively. There's going to be 853 on the Oscar Traynor Road development, 853 units. Coolock Village has grown, Oscar Traynor Road has grown, there's more units on Oscar Traynor Road, Darndale has grown, and there's a couple of more earmarked for the area. So the area is going to grow at a really, really, really quick rate. So we really need to plan for that and expand the services that the existing service that are already there, and really prepare for the, I suppose, for the overflow, because down where I am working on the site in Balmain, there actually are no services at the minute. And
what type of services?
There's no family support, community centres, family support centres, very little boxing clubs down in the Balmain, Clongriffin area. So I suppose we're the first purpose facility down in that area.
Okay, so what do young people do then in a long summer, say, when they're off school? What would they do?
Well, in what area, in the Balmain area?
Yeah, where there's a lack of services.
I suppose in Bell, they'd be just around the local area, hanging around, could take the train somewhere, they could get underground car parks if the weather doesn't get too good. Like, there's nowhere for them to really be in the local Clongriffin Park, but there's no kind of safe spaces,
no structured purpose in, no.
There's no purpose buildings for them in the Balmain and Clongriffin area, you know. So,
okay, and would you cite that as a problem then? Would you foresee that as a problem?
Definitely, because the area is continuing to grow. There's more apartments, more developments than in the Malahide Road in the Balmain area, so that does, again, has to be a massive injection of services down there. And then in the Coolock area, like, services are under pressure, so it's about kind of maybe relieving that pressure a little bit. So they are funded, but they're just a little bit more pressure needs to be relieved, and a little bit more future planning for when developments are run.
Okay, well, look, Keith, thanks for sharing your experience from Coolock. Keith O'Driscoll, Youth Justice Project Leader with the KEEP project in Coolock, and Jim O'Callaghan, Fianna Fáil TD, joining us from the Edifice Studio as well. Thank you both.